are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. We're glad you joined us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. As you listen, please know that we've prayed for you. Our deep desire is that you would experience the blessing of God today. During the program, you may have a question or a need for prayer. If so, please text us at 772-205-6552, and someone will contact you as soon as possible. You can also reach us through our website at graceemmanuel.com. When you get to the site, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. You can send us any questions or concerns from there. We look forward to this next hour with you as we unfold God's Word together. Today, we're listening to message number 8 in a series titled, What Must I Do to Be Saved? We pray that you are growing in your understanding of all God does when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. Jesus takes the old us, dead in sin and separated from God, and makes us alive. He makes us righteous children of God. But that is just the beginning. We're made righteous so that God can place His Holy Spirit in us. That Spirit works to transform us from what we once were into the powerful kingdom people Jesus intends for us to be. Please think about this as we listen to the message God has given Pastor Sam Chess.
All right, here's a question. Ready? Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you experienced salvation? Do you know what it means to be saved? The answers to those questions are the single most important answers to any question you can ask or answer in your life. And you say, Chess, but you're making it too hard putting it on an 8.5 by 14 sheet with all of these verses. I like to just think of salvation as a gift from God. Jesus offers it by dying on the cross as we just celebrated, and I just receive it. And I say, yep. That's true. That's exactly what salvation is. In fact, 7 times in the New Testament, it's called a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift to you. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. However, my job, and I'm feeling this deeply. I started this series thinking we'd go 2 sermons. You guys have been pulling out so much more. It's like you say, I need to know more. And so you're getting more. That's just kind of the way these things tend to work. But my calling, and I feel this deeply, is to make sure that none of us reach out and accept the gift and then stop there. I have to make sure that none of us accept the gift of salvation like the unopened package of socks you have in your drawer from Aunt Matilda. Because we take gifts that way. We get the gift, we stuff it away, and somehow or another it doesn't seem to make a difference in our life. The gift of salvation must be fully received, opened completely. We reach down into the box for what all is in the box, and then we apply that to every single corner of our life. That's what this is all about. I would venture to say that there are people in this room right now who would say, I've spent a lot of time around Christians, I've been in churches, I still don't quite understand what it actually means to be saved. What does that mean? What does that do for me? In fact, more than a few people have stood in this church and testified, I was a Christian much of my life by association. I was around Christians, so I was one. But then one day, the light bulb popped on. Something in my mind opened. And I began to realize that there was so much more to salvation than I had ever imagined before. And what I thought was just a title that one hangs on themselves, I'm a Christian versus I'm not, I begin to find out that it is an all-consuming, life-changing transformation that reaches into every single part of my life. And I'm just talking from my heart now. I would be tragically disobeying God as your pastor if you came in here and I told you, just accept Jesus, and then I sent you back out the door without telling you what in the world that even means. So we're not going to do that. Not going to bring you in and tell you, accept Jesus, and send you back out the door. That would be like giving you the bow on the gift. And while you're looking at the beauty of the bow, there's something nagging in the back of your mind that says, I wonder what was actually inside the box. This is what's inside the box. That's why it's so important that you have one of these on your lap. And this is two parts, what God does for us in salvation. And the bottom, the entire four parts on the bottom, what God does in us through salvation. Now, here's the truth. You can walk in here today, as you did, or you wouldn't be in here, and you can know deep inside that you are bound up in your sin. There are undoubtedly people in this room that know that. You're bound up in your sin. But today, you could become convinced, maybe something that was said, maybe something that was sung in a song, something a light bulb would pop on, and you would become convinced that Jesus did, in fact, pay your sin penalty. He paid it for you. He offers to you forgiveness. And you would, perhaps today, confess your sins. You would put your full faith and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. You would commit the rest of your life to Him. And at that moment, you would be saved. You don't have to know everything on this sheet to be saved. And in fact, before the day is out, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do just that, what I just said. But once you are saved, everything on this sheet and hundreds of other verses in the Bible become your spiritual inheritance. It's yours. It's the gift is big, and it's all your gift. That spiritual inheritance doesn't just affect your life after you leave this world. That spiritual inheritance is supposed to affect every single moment of your life now, while you're in this world, before you graduate on to heaven. If you prayed a prayer of repentance, confession, acceptance, if you prayed that prayer, let's say 3 years ago, and you're still saying, I still don't quite understand what all is supposed to be happening inside of me as a result of that prayer. I'm talking to you today. If you prayed to receive Jesus 20 years ago, and you're saying that nothing about your life has really measurably changed, there's no visible transformation, there's nothing about your life you can point to and say, I'm not the same person I used to be, then I'm really, really talking to you today. What I'm doing is not going to beat you. I'm not going to say, well, what's wrong with you? You good for nothing. I'm holding out the gift of salvation to you. And I'm saying everything that God has offered is yours. It is your spiritual inheritance. And what you may have thought or somehow in your head was the size of your thumbnail, you find out it's the size of the planet Jupiter. This is something huge that God has offered to every single person in this room. So you need the sheet. If you just lay that in front of you, there are a lot of scriptures on this page. I need you to understand that these are just a fraction of the passages that unfold each of these seven aspects. And there's seven, starting with the top left corner, working your way around. The reason it's been morphing, the reason it's not what it was last week or the week before, is because I'm going through all the scriptures that talk about salvation in the New Testament particularly, and sorting out which ones could I put on this sheet that best describe salvation in the fewest possible, most gripping words. And that's what you have in your lap. But I'm imploring you. I'm imploring you today. And I'm feeling this a lot more than I was, whatever it was, 6 weeks ago. You need to reach inside the package. Don't accept the gift of salvation and say, wasn't that neat? I got it. I'm going to go home and put it in the drawer. Reach inside the package and find out everything that God freely, graciously, lovingly offered to you. And let me just give you an illustration of the reach inside the package part of this. that sometimes we'll take the top part of it, we'll take the bow, and we'll miss everything inside. Let me give you an illustration. We'll put it up here on the screen. This verse is familiar to everybody, probably, if you've been around church very long, because this is one of the first ones anybody is going to say to you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, there it is, the gift of God is eternal. You can finish it, right? Is eternal life through... It's not hard because it's right up there on the screen. Now, if you back up, though, a little bit, that passage that we often will take out, slip out, and hold up to people and say, see, there's the package. If you back up a little bit, and then you look a little deeper into the whole package, you find out there's a lot more in the package than what we had in that single verse. Let me just show you. Here's the bigger part of the package. This is to all of us. You used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer yourselves as servants, probably that word's a little offensive to many, as servants to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were servants to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And these are my notes. I used to do whatever sinful actions I felt like at any given time. Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become servants of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result of that is eternal life. Now here's the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's just take, I just sin every time I feel like it, Fred. Here he is. Fred receives the gift of salvation. Fred confesses his sin and he receives the gift of salvation. Is that for sure going to make any measurable difference in Fred's life? Well, you say, yeah, it's supposed to. In fact, it's pretty specific. He used to offer himself as a slave to impurity. It's not hard to get that from the look. I'm just going by the hair, you know? He used to offer himself as a slave to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. Now, this dude, because of what happened in his life, he has been set free from the power of sin. This guy has become a servant of God. He has traded in the wages of his sin for God's free gift of eternal life. So what happens inside of the guy? What changes? Can he possibly be the same guy he was before? He has reached inside of the box, and he has taken out of the box everything God has offered to him. It would be a terrible, eternal disservice for me or any other pastor or any other person to describe the gift of salvation to Fred as if it were the unopened package of socks from Aunt Matilda. If I just tried to convince the old boy, just take it, it's yours, it's okay, it doesn't really do anything, you just have a title now, you're a Christian. Or am I going to say to Fred, no, Fred, all of this and a whole bunch more is your spiritual inheritance. It is your gift from God. And when I sin every time I feel like it, Fred confesses his sin and believes. He puts his complete trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Six things. This many plus this one. Six things happen simultaneously in Fred's life. If Fred were to walk in the door today and he were to bow before God or even sit in his chair and confess his sins, repent of his sins, embrace Jesus as his Lord and Savior, six things would happen simultaneously. They're on your sheet. We're not going to pause long. He would be redeemed. His sin debt would be paid. We talked about it earlier. He would experience forgiveness. His sins would be washed away. He would be justified. His past sins, God would hold those against him absolutely no more. In fact, he would forget all about his sins. They just simply, in God's mind, would no longer exist. But for three more things. Now, those things Jesus provided 2,000 years ago, but Fred, now he's appropriating them. But these things would happen right here in this room. Now watch this close. Right here in this room, Fred would be regenerated. God would kindle new life. He would be born anew or born again. At that point, Fred would become a son of God. He would be adopted into God's family. And Fred's relationship at that point would change from enemy to friend. Now, let me just pause and take you back to number two, forgiveness. Because some of you asked me the question over this last few weeks. They say, you're going all this trouble to describe what happens when we are saved, but you're not telling us what we need to do to be saved. So we, on Wednesday night, we sat here in this room and we dug out a couple of really important things. I want to make sure you see them before I jump ahead, because we're going clear to sanctification today. But I want to make sure you see these. Number one is this idea of confession. If we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's got to be something way more than me just saying, Jesus is Lord. Yes? Remember last week? Confession is not just you mouthing to God, I stole something. It is me acknowledging my sin. It is me agreeing with God. It is, if I claim I have no sin, I'm only fooling myself, not living in the truth. But if I, here's the word, if I confess, if I acknowledge, yes, God, I am a sinner. I agree with you that I'm sinful. If I acknowledge my sin to him, he is faithful and just, and he will, see there, he will then forgive my sins and will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Secondly, and this is really an important part, not only does one need to agree with God and confess a sin, but there's another word that shows up constantly, and here it is from the mouth of Jesus himself. In fact, this is the very last thing Jesus says before he ascends to heaven in the book of Luke. He said, it's written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It's also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And then here's the last words out of his mouth, at least according to Luke. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Have you repented? What does it mean to repent? The word simply means turn around. A U-turn. You're going to go the other direction. Jesus is saying, and then Paul says it, and John says it, and they all say the same thing, that somewhere along the line, there has to come a U-turn. So if Fred comes in this room today and he comes to Christ, or if you walk in this room today and you give your life to Christ, you must first acknowledge. In fact, if I were to pray a prayer at the end of the service, which I'm going to do, I will include in that prayer, I confess, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I repent. I'm sorry. I believe sorrow enters into it because of 1 Corinthians. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I'm ready to make a U-turn. And then I believe. Remember the word pistuo? We've had it all through this seven series. I put everything in. I'm all in. I take off my shoes and dive in. I'm in, God. I believe. I put my complete faith and trust in you. If those things happen, one is then into this thing called salvation. This thing called salvation. Let's just say for argument that everybody in this room has done that. Let's say that. You've already repented, you've already confessed, you've acknowledged your sin before God, and you've believed with all your heart and accepted him into your life as your Lord and Savior. These first six things happen in the first moments. If you did that today, these first six things would happen in those first moments of your life. The redemption, the forgiveness, the justification, the adoption, the regeneration. Now here's what I'm doing. All of that happens at once. But what I'm doing all these last few weeks is I'm freeze framing it. That film is running, and we're going, bam, take that one right there, put it there, and let's look at what is happening in your life. What happens inside of you when this happens? There has to be something going on, or all of the, turn out the lights, let's leave, because we have nothing to offer to anyone. But I do have something, in fact, to offer you, because I'm showing you something that is so utterly critical, and to get to the how critical it is, we have to pause and freeze frame and look at it, because there is such a gap in so many people's understanding of what salvation even is. I had somebody tell me this last week here that they've been around churches for years and they've never heard about regeneration, being born again. And I'm not slamming, I'm just saying, because of where each of us have been, and we come from hugely different backgrounds, but considering that Jesus himself told Nicodemus, Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Being regenerated or being born again is a key. And every Bible writer then, John, Peter, Paul, every biblical writer goes down the same path. Let me show you, Peter. You've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last how long? Yeah. Now, many other people, and I had more than one say this. The Holy Spirit plays a role in our future spiritual life. But somebody said to me last week, I've never heard of the Holy Spirit playing a role in our salvation. I've never heard of the Holy Spirit being active in us to bring us to new life. And I'm going to say, and I'm not saying this sarcastic, although that tends to be a trait of mine. I'm going to say, really? Really? We just read that. Let me just put it, if it's not on the screen, let's put it back there, James. Can we? Watch. Human beings can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. How? This is critical. This isn't like somebody asking, what's the secret ingredient in your chili? This is an essential ingredient in every single one of our spiritual life. This is the catalyst on which your salvation is built. Without it, you are not, you cannot, you will not ever be saved. This is so absolutely critical. And without ever being saved, if you are not saved, you are still suffering the wages of your sin. You are still a slave to sin. You are free from the control of righteousness. You are a slave to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. But with this ingredient, you will be set free from sin with the benefit you reap that leads to sanctification. That's that last thing on your sheet. And you will reap the result that leads to eternal life. What happens in your salvation, in your being set free from the chains of sin, leads on to your sanctification, and that leads on, in fact, to eternal life.
We pause for a moment and welcome those of you just joining today's Grace Alive radio broadcast. We're listening to the eighth message in a series titled, What Must I Do to Be Saved?, delivered by Pastor Sam Chess and recorded at Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie. Just a reminder that if you have a question or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552, or you can go online to graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page, and from there you can email us or send us your prayer requests. Now let's return and listen to the rest of the message together.
I'm going to try something here, an experiment. We've been to a lot of experiments. We looked at redemption. We looked at forgiveness, justification. We looked at adoption, all first five, and then last week we got into six. But I want to try something. I want to reduce it all down to 10 statements, 10 biblical statements right from the Bible that take us right on into sanctification. And I want to show you, if you can grab hold of this, these 10 statements, you will understand what happens inside of Fred when he walks in here, or you. When you walk in here, you confess your sin and you give your life to Christ. You will understand it just from these 10 biblical statements. Here's statement number one. All who believed him, there's that word pistuo, throw it all in. All who trust in him completely, he gives the right to become children of God. So I start with that. Remember, belief includes confession and repentance. So all who come to him in confession, repentance, and belief have the right to become children of God. And what happens then? They are, here's the word, they are reborn. They are regenerated. Again, this comes a birth that comes from God. So something supernatural happens on the inside. If you come in here today and you give your heart to Christ, something happens inside. What happens? He saves us by washing away our sins, giving us new birth. That's this. That's going to happen. And new life. That's a second thing. And it's all going to happen through the what? Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to add, he generously poured out that Spirit on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So you come in here and you give your heart to the Lord. And you pray that prayer. We get to the end of this service, you pray that prayer, and you say, I don't know what happened. Maybe nothing happened. Yes, it did. See, that's the deal. If you truly trust Jesus as your Savior, something immense just happened inside of you. Your sins were washed away. And you were given, right there, in your seat or wherever you prayed, you were given a new birth. You were born. You were reborn. And you were reborn from God. He did that by inserting His Holy Spirit in such a way that the rebirth, the rewashing, the changing the old you begins to happen on the inside. All of that would happen inside of you today. Something would start to change. The old you would have a brand new something happening on the inside. Let me take you on to this new life-giving spirit on the inside. What would he do? Here it is. This is number 5, 6, and 7. All who are led by the Spirit of God are his children. So now the Spirit within is going to be doing something. Here it is, 6. You received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own child. When I came to Him, He brings me into His family. I'm His child, and I turn to Him with this whole new attitude, this Abba Father. My whole relationship had gone from enemy, slave to sin, enemy to God. Now I come to Him as a dear, loving, heavenly Father. Number 7. Since we are His children, we are His heirs. Look at this. In fact, together with Jesus, we are joint heirs of God's glory. What a leap! Do you realize what just happened? Fred comes in the door, a slave to sin, lost in his sins, walks back out the door, a joint heir with Jesus of God's glory, with his sins washed away and new birth in his heart, and he's now a son of God, and all of that happens in a moment of time. But it all happens. That's the key. It must, in fact, if Fred is truly saved. And what's happening here is that God is setting the stage. In a moment of time, God is setting the stage to take your old sinful life, now the new you, and he's getting ready to merge the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he has given you, whom he has poured out on, these aren't my words, whom he has poured out on you when you believed. It is inconceivable that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to be poured into your life without making some kind of measurable changes. It's just not going to be so. The Spirit of God is going to begin a process on the inside of you that's not going to leave you the same person. But stay with me here as we go on into sanctification. I promise you that's true. You're going to move from being the old sinful servant of sin to the new servant of God. But there's more, way more. Phrase 8, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. See, remember the phrase earlier, I've never seen the Holy Spirit attached to salvation? Well, it's all through here. It's not like it's in here once, it's all through the Bible. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. Watch this. The Spirit is God's guarantee, or the word in many of your versions is down payment. It's the down payment from God that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people, co-heirs with Jesus of all things. Watch this, 10. He's identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us. So let's go back to, I just sin every time I feel like it, Fred. All right, back on the screen. There he is. Fred has just confessed his sin. Fred has put his full faith and trust in Jesus now as his Lord and Savior. When Fred wakes up the next morning, after giving his heart to the Lord, what will be changed from the morning before? What has changed? Well, he has confessed sins that have been totally forgiven. They have been washed away. They have been so thoroughly cleansed that God has no memory of them. He has poured his spirit into Fred, bringing supernatural new birth and new life. All of this happened in a moment of time. Fred became a son of God. Instead of being God's rebellious slave to sin, Fred becomes, in a moment of time, God's friend, from fragmented to fellowship, from enemy to friend. The Spirit of God sets up in Fred's life as a down payment on the new title of heir of God's glory. All of that happens right here, and it could happen to you too. That's what God promises us. It's not he offers that to one person and doesn't offer that to everybody else. It's his promise to each of us in this room. You are going to be an heir of God's glory. You are going to be washed in your sins, and I'm going to put the Holy Spirit there to do things inside of you. In fact, the Spirit of God living in us is not like an ornamental cherry sitting on top of the banana split of our life. The Holy Spirit is in us as part of God's great eternal plan to drive back the curse of sin, to replace our old sinful habits and Satan's crippling bondage with power and presence of God. God wants to do something inside of each of us that's more than what most of us ever imagine. In fact, not only is God saying the promised Holy Spirit in you is the seal of my presence, he's the deposit, he's the down payment on what's coming. He's the down payment from God on a coming time in your life when, if you are in Christ, you will be living in the absolute unhindered presence and power of God in heaven. We know that's coming there, or at least we believe that's coming there. He is God's down payment to you, a down payment. Deposit is part of the whole of what is coming. He's giving you that. The Holy Spirit is designed to be a little bit of what heaven is going to be in you right now before you ever get there. He's offering you something here that's preparing you for something there. You say, well, that's nice. But what does that even mean? If I'm sitting here in this seat right now and the down payment of the Holy Spirit is in me, what will that do? You remember this, Titus 3:6? He saved us through the washing of regeneration. That's the rebirth. There's the word. He rebirthed us, but that's not all he did. The Holy Spirit is there not just to rebirth us, he's there to renew us. Let me take you down here to the words. One, the first means to be made completely new. The second is the exact word that's used in Romans 12:2. Remember that? Don't be conformed to this world. Be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what he's promising, the renewal by the Holy Spirit that he generously poured out on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Holy Spirit in us is part of a great eternal plan to change us from hopeless sinners to redeemed saints. Not in name only, but in actual daily practice. Let's talk for the next 5 minutes on that, can we? The Holy Spirit doesn't show up in the life of the new believer to rebirth us, to bring us into the family of God, and then go into some kind of divine hibernation. It's just not what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of God within us, that he has poured out in our lives, arrives inside of you to begin a rest of your lifetime remaking, reshaping, remodeling from the old sinful you into a brand new righteous you. That's the gift. That's the inheritance that God has promised to each person in this room, to continually move you further and further away from the actions and reactions that reflect the character of sin and the curse, and increasingly make you a reflection of the character of God himself. This is such a huge big... In fact, do you know this word shows up in the Bible, Old Testament and New, 1,000 times? It's perhaps the most used word in all of the Bible, where God's saying in the Old Testament, he's trying desperately to pull these people away from their sinful idolatry and make them holy or sanctified, move them into a position where they are walking with God, where their life is a reflection of him. In the New Testament, it becomes even more about moving us away from our old sinfulness and moving us to a brand new righteousness that we didn't even have any grasp of before. It's huge. This is what Jesus provided. When he left this earth and he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, this is what he provided for. And this is so utterly critical. In fact, I say it because we cannot simply take the first part, the forgiveness part, and miss the fact that he forgives us so that he can then transform us, so that he can bring us away from the old us and bring us to the new us. And I say that because part of modern Christianity has done just that. They've emphasized the forgiveness part. They've underemphasized the sanctifying part. Let me just put this on the screen. The transforming work of the Holy Spirit is the evident seal of God that we're in Christ. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit showing in and through our lives is the deposit of the eternity in heaven that we are preparing for. I tell you what I did, Jim, that messed you up. I skipped like a whole page of notes, didn't I? Except here's the problem. I skipped the whole part about what sanctification actually is. I tell you what, there's always next week, yeah? Tell you what I like to do today. I'm really sorry I missed that, because I was going to take the scriptures that show us the Holy Spirit in the sanctifying power. Here's what I want to do. If there's one passage in the Bible that talks about this transformation, if there's one passage in the Bible that God would like to be coming from our lungs like an anthem, this last passage is it. And it talks all about what the Holy Spirit wants to do inside of us. But here's what I want you to do. I want us to do this together. Can we do this? We'll put it on the screen. Romans 8, starting with verse 9. And let's just do it together. Can we do that? Here we go. But I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit, since I have the Spirit of God living in me. Well, stop. I am controlled by the Spirit, since I have what? Yeah, that's going to be so important as we talk about sanctification. The Spirit of God living in me. This is actually in the Bible. I remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. It's so critical. Now let's read on verse 10. And Christ lives within me. So even though my body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives me life because I have been made right with God. See what He's going to do for us? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to my mortal body by this same Spirit living within me. And then we get into more familiar territory. I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to do. If I live by its dictates, I will die. But if through the power of the Spirit I put to death the deeds of my sinful nature, I will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And then this, I have not received a spirit that makes me a fearful slave. Instead, I received God's Spirit when He adopted me as His own child. Now I call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with my spirit to affirm that I am God's child. And since I am His child, I am His, there it is again, in fact, together with Christ, I am an heir of God's glory. Do you realize what He's offering to us? You say, oh man, we'd realize it better, Chess, if He hadn't skipped a page of notes. Here's what I'd like to offer you. If you walked into this room today, you say, man, I don't know what all that is, but that is way more than I have ever experienced. To me, salvation was an idea in the head. The idea that somehow salvation was God birthing a new me by inserting His Spirit and washing my sins and bringing me into His family as a son or daughter of God, and then beginning the process of changing the old me, that's beyond what I've known. And I want to invite you today. I'm going to pray a final prayer. And I'm going to include confession, repentance. I'm going to include belief. I'm going to include you just simply giving your whole self to God. And here's what I promise. If you do this right now, in return, He will give you everything I just put on that screen. Everything that's on your sheet. It's your spiritual inheritance. It's what He's offered to every single person, a child of God born again with new life, it's yours. That's the gift that he's offering to each one of you. Would you bow your heads, please? And first, let me pray for you, and then I'll stop, and we'll pray together if you'd like to pray. This prayer of repentance and confession, this prayer of accepting all that he is into your life. Father, I pray for each person in this room. You know everyone. You know what's going on in their minds. There are some right now in this room that are saying, you know what? Jess is right. I just have something inside that's tugging me. And I know he's right. I want to know God in this way. I don't want to have a head knowledge about God. I want to know God. I want God to be my Savior and Lord. I want this death of Jesus on my behalf to become something real on the inside, not an idea on the outside, but something real, something life-changing. I want to confess my sins. I want to repent, and I want to believe with all of my heart until you become absolutely every part of my being. If that's your prayer today, I want you right where you sit today to pray this prayer to God. It's just you and God. Nobody else is in the room. Just you and God. Here's the repentance part. Dear God, I have sinned. I'm really sorry. I really am. I acknowledge my sin. I am a sinner. And I am so ready to make a U-turn right here today. I believe. Oh, I believe that you did die on a cross to redeem me, to ransom me, to pay off my sin debt. I believe that your death and your resurrection provided for me to have forgiveness, for you to cleanse my sin away. And I want to accept that cleansing right now. Oh God, wash my sins. Wash my sins away. I believe what we just read, that the Holy Spirit brings new birth. I'm born again right now. The Spirit is rebirthing me. He's bringing not just new birth, he brings me into the family of God. I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God. From this moment, I am your son or your daughter. And I believe that that Holy Spirit within is not going to go away, but you're going to start the process of reshaping me. And I'm saying yes to that. Not only are you my Savior, you are my Lord. You're the one who's going to guide, and I'm going to allow you to reshape my whole life until I am truly the reflection of Jesus. I become more and more the glory, the heirdom that I have with Jesus, reflecting the very glory of God. Oh, let it be true in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for the new birth that you just brought into my heart. In Jesus' name.
We're glad you joined us today, and we welcome you to listen to a discussion about the sermon with our pastors. With us today are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, and Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
As I was pondering this message, it was interesting looking back on my own life that I was challenged in steps. And when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and I was born again of the Spirit of God, challenges came to me by way of other people. I remember my pastor coming to me, and I think I've probably said this before, but in our church every Sunday night, we used to have testimony time. And he heard that I'd become a Christian, so he came to me and he said, Ian, would you give your testimony in church next Sunday night? And I simply and quickly said, no, sir. And yet, there was a challenge there in my realization that there is no such thing as a silent Christian. If we're to believe in Christ, we also need to be able to witness for him. That took me to my bedside. And the verse of scripture that stayed with me down through the years is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I picture that fact, I could see it even today, as I was laying myself on the altar, saying, Lord, it's all yours. And then I said something that I thought would be quite safe. I told God that night I would never say no again if anybody responsible in the church or had anything to do with the church, if they asked me to do something, I wouldn't say no, but I would say, yes, I'm available. That challenged my life all through life itself. The mere fact that I became a singer was the mere fact that my choir director turned to me one Sunday night in our house, and I was only there with all the other choir members. I was only there for the snack, listening to some of the songs. And he turned to me and said, Ian, I really think that you could sing this song. And I about to say no when I realized I'd made a commitment. That night I opened up my mouth. There was a tremendous surprise. My mother came running in from the kitchen wondering what had gone on. But see, these were challenges that grew me into a stronger Christian. The sanctified life, giving my life all to him, was a matter of wanting to serve him. And he enabled me to give me gifts to serve. We'll never find out our gifts in serving him until we are willing to say, Lord, it's all yours. And that was the start of my Christian life. As far as serving him, I've had a ministry of over 50-some years of serving Christ, not only here, but around the world. It started with the willingness that I was not going to say no ever again, but to be available.
I'm excited. I'm just so thrilled at the truths that are being put forth from the Word of God. And we talk to people. And if you're listening today and you've never come to know Christ, the big deal about this is that you do stand condemned before a holy and righteous God, but he's made a way for you to be forgiven by the blood of Christ. And the most important thing for anyone is to know that their sins are forgiven and they are not bound for judgment, but bound for eternity with God. But it is not just that. Everything that we've talked about here today has to do with living a life of power and fulfillment and purpose as a forgiven person in Jesus. It's not just a retirement. It's a powerful resource of truth for living life now. All of the seven things that Pastor Sam mentioned talk about a new, powerful, world-changing life right now. Christian, this is the power for freeing you from whatever binds you. It's the power for restoring what is broken in your life. It is the power for discovering your eternal purpose for this temporal life. It's the power that makes us together as the Church of Jesus a world-changing, culture-changing, kingdom group of people. If we live like the people we are in Christ right now, then everything that we cry about or protest or yell about is going to change.
To be holy like God is holy. That is what God spoke to me through this message. There should be a stark difference between us and the non-Christians around us. Pastor Ian always says this, and I agree with him. When you're around other Christians, your spirit witnesses to theirs. There should be a difference between us and the lost. We should be marked by the joy of the Lord in our faithfulness to making disciples. And what gets in the way of that is this thing called sin. And sin is a deadly enemy. that must be killed and must be stopped. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. They will stand firm and take action. There's a firm foundation in Christ alone that God has for us to carry, for us to abide in, to live for. We need to be people of the Word, devouring and savoring the Word like honey to our lips, living Christ-exalting lives in every facet of our life. That's what we were created for. We were created for the glory of God. And so many people, instead, they're settling. They paint themselves up like they're clowns. They go to ball games. Nothing wrong with going to a ball game, but they have idols in their lives that are not fulfilling. That's why they come back for more and more and more, and they're never seemingly satisfied. But in Christ alone, we are satisfied. Let's be satisfied in Christ, and may Christ be glorified in us. And I want to close with this. There's a quote from John MacArthur that I love. The Bible is its own explanation. We use the Bible to explain the Bible. And I think that's very profound. So as we become people of the Word, people of prayer, on our knees, depending on God wholeheartedly, then and only then do we see the change that the Lord Himself can only bring.
So let's appeal to you that are listening today, kind of building on what Pastor Mitchell just said. If you have never embraced Jesus, if this is brand new to you, we are definitely talking to you today. But again, I want to say what we said earlier in the sermon. If you prayed a prayer 20 years ago, and somehow or another, there's absolutely no difference in you now than who you were then I'm appealing to you as well. Imagine exchanging your old sinful self for a brand new life. That's what salvation is offering you. God merging, listen to these words, merging the power of the Holy Spirit, whom He has given you, whom you have received, who has been poured out. All words that are applied to salvation, poured out when you believed. It is inconceivable that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out into your life without making serious, measurable change, turning the old servant of sin you into a servant of God you. So if you are saying today, man, that has just not happened, and I've had people in this church who've gone to this church for a while, finally one day say, you know what? I have lived in the church for a long time, but I have never actually been saved. Then I'm appealing to you today. It is time, literally, to open your arms and run right into the arms of Jesus, to take the gift He has offered you. Don't leave the top on. Don't leave the bow untied. Open the box, reach into the box, and receive every single thing He has offered you, which takes you from the old sinful you to a radically transformed new you, a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Pastor Sam continues to mention a chart listing all of the biblical truths about what being saved does in, through, and for us. This powerful visual aid presents definitions and scripture about the critical things that are true of every believer. We want you to have this chart as our gift to you. Simply use the Contact Us tab on our website to request this gift in digital or printed form. We've enjoyed our time with you today and would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Come for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We also have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through 5th grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during the Bible classes and the worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. We have a full schedule of events for you and your family each week here at Grace. Join us on Tuesday nights as we engage in focused prayer from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. We spend time praying for the needs of those around us and for our world. Please let us know how we can pray for you. Our Senior Life Ministry, led by Pastor Ian Croshaw, meets each Wednesday morning from 10:30 a.m. till noon for a time of prayer, hymn singing, and a wonderful Bible study. Each Wednesday evening, there's ministry for the whole family, beginning with children and youth at 6:30 p.m. and our adult Bible study at 7. This brings us to the end of this week's broadcast. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com. When at the site, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. In addition to your questions and prayer needs, we would appreciate your feedback on the program. And don't forget to request that free chart. While visiting the website, please check out our calendar, links to resources, and listen to or watch any of the sermons offered. We also have an app. Just go to your app store and search for Grace Emmanuel Church. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our senior life, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May God richly bless you. We hope to see you visit with us soon.
Hi, this is Sue Chess. I'm the ladies ministry leader here at Grace Emmanuel Church. We are once again hosting a live simulcast called Going Beyond with best-selling author Priscilla Shire and worship artist Anthony Evans, Saturday, April the 6th. We'll worship together with women from all over the world and all walks of life. This all-day women's event begins at 10 a.m. and concludes at 5:30 p.m. Our church is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. Tickets are $16. If you purchase your tickets before March 31st, a Chick-fil-A lunch is included in the ticket price. For more information, give us a call at 772-489-9696. Or for ticket sales, go online to graceemmanuel.com, scroll down and click on the Priscilla Shire link. Please join us as together we take a deeper look at the glory of God. Thank you.